there's a quote from this month's guest that was first recorded quite a few years ago when his career was just getting started. After the initial success of a song called Raymond, Brett Eldredge had to wait a bit before really being able to show what he could do as a singer and a songwriter. Well, it was just after that period that he said, the biggest challenge for any new artist is, I think, patience. And even though he's a new artist no longer, with a string of number one songs and a new album out this month, Brett Eldredge is still grappling with patience. We talk with him about that and a lot more on this month's Write You a Song. I'm Tom Maley. Thanks, as always, for checking out the podcast. If you have a minute, share it with others and leave a rating. Got to give a big shout-out to my program director, Joey Tack, and Justin Newell with WMG for working together to make this month's podcast happen. Brett Eldredge is a busy guy, but I was hoping to get him because I think it's important to include not just songwriters on this show, but singer-songwriters, and we've had a few good ones so far. Brandi Clark, Ashley McBride, Chris Jansen, Lindsay L. Of them, Brett has had the most success and the highest profile so far. Two of his albums have reached the top-selling spot on the Billboard charts. Five singles have gone number one, several others top five, songs that have been absolute staples on country radio the past several years. I love the way you make me lose my mind. You know what you're doing, baby, don't you? Don't you? She calls me Raymond. That's all right by But it's taken a lot of work on both his craft and himself to get to this point, and patience, too. Brett Eldredge, welcome to Write You a Song. Thank you so much. Congratulations on two things. Your first album, what, 4 years, 3 years, coming out this month?
Yeah.
And then just last month, you completed your first half marathon. Bravo.
Yes, it's a lot of new things going on right now. I'm excited.
But that's one of the cool things about you, and I think that's one of the things that I'm guessing drives your creative process, is you seem to be a guy who's interested in a lot of things. You don't like to sit still.
No, yeah, it's tough for me. I'm always looking for that thing. So with running here recently, I was never really a runner, and then I like, you know what, this quarantine is here. It's going to be a tough time for a lot of people, and it's going to be tough on my mind. But if I find something to find resilience with and lean into those hard times, and when your mind, you know, I wanted to do it for the mental aspect of every bit as much as the running part and the physical endurance of it too as well. So, yeah, I'm always looking for something to try, and glad I tried that, and now I'm looking for the next thing.
Have you always been that way, just kind of searching for things to do to keep you busy? Not necessarily to keep you busy, but just because you want to have fun, you want to have new experiences.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's whenever I find myself getting in a comfortable place in life, it's like I feel like there's something wrong a little bit. I mean, not like a comfortable place, but like overly comfortable. If you stay in that comfort zone, you're not – that's usually when I know that – my brain needs to push, push in a way where it's, you know, get back to living. And I've been somebody who's had anxiety struggles through the years. And I think like a lot, as I've learned through the process, I'm a large amount of people the same, but I wanted to figure out ways to deal with that. And for me, it's always pushing through the comfort zone and through the fear and stuff like that. So I do a lot of things to get myself out there. And usually when I get out there, it's when I feel the most alive. So that's where I'm going.
You're an extremely creative guy. Do you think creativity and that anxiety are linked in some way? They go hand in hand in some way?
Oh, I think for sure. I mean, yeah, anxiety is mostly just thoughts, you know, it's just thoughts raging through your mind. And I think anxiety has also fueled my songwriting too. So, I mean, I don't I think you have to befriend the anxiety, I guess, more than just be like, oh, I have anxiety or something. It's like, well, no, I don't have it. You know, it's like everybody has worries and thoughts and everything. It's how you have your relationship with them. So I'm always kind of all over the place when I'm writing songs, and my mind's in a bunch of different places. But if I'm bouncing back and forth, and usually writing with me probably is a little bit maddening. I think the people that I work well with the most are the ones that kind of stick with me and realize that we might be writing five different songs in one session, which happens.
Yeah, and you talk about how sometimes you need your co-writers to kind of reel you in, and I want to get to that.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, I usually have a lot of ideas and a lot of things that are churning in my mind, but I will go down a road where, you know, we're writing something, and I'm sure they think, oh, man, we got like a verse and a chorus, we're on the way. And I'd be like, you know what, I'm not feeling, I have this other idea right here. Or I wouldn't say I'm not feeling, I just start singing this other melody, and then we're on to another song. Or, you know, some people are like, well, you know, we'll stick to this. Well, it's like, if I'm not feeling it, then I'm wasting both of ours time. And I think I have to get through those, and I have to push through those songs a little bit and to try them first. And then if it's like trying on clothes, you know, for me, it's, I gotta walk around in a little bit. I gotta feel it. And if I'm feeling like I'm trying too hard, that I'm wearing some fad clothing, you know what I mean? It's like I've thrown on something that doesn't fit me. I'm throwing on something that's just not me. And I think I have to try all those different songs out. And usually, you know, there's a lot of my friends, you know, and writers that have either liked to write that way or are very patient, and they stick with me, and we end up getting something, you know, special that we all connect on. And you know, I'm like, now my heart is fully in this song, and I might have a lot of thoughts running around up in there, but the right one seems to lock in place with where the direction I want to go. And I think a lot of that's knowing who you are as an artist and figuring that out. That's, I've had to really learn that through the years of how to be like, you know what, I'm wasting both of our times if I try to write this kind of song that sounds, you know, because somebody wants to hear a song that sounds like, you know, whatever, some other song, you know, and this song on the radio, I want one that sounds like this. Somebody would say, we should write something like that. I'd be like, well, no, that's not the route I like to go with it, because if I'm being honest, it's not going to be fully, truly who I am as an artist. So I just got to find that thing and then chase it down.
It sounds like a real manic process. It also sounds kind of chaotic. Are you ever able to, like you said, sometimes you'll throw out four or five ideas that could all be songs. Do you then, are you able to wait a little while for all of that to kind of percolate or settle and then go back and take a look at it with a much calmer pair of eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Scooter Caruso who I've written. I wrote Want to Be That Song with him. I wrote Mean to Me with him. I wrote three new songs on my new album with him. I've written a lot of songs with him. He's a marinator of all writers. Mm-hmm. He wants to write a song and he wants to spend days on it. And so he's learned with me that we can bounce around those songs. And then when we get to that idea, then I'm like, all right, this is the guy to do it with. I can put the whole core of this song and kind of get down to the heart of it. And then he's going to go marinate on it for a while and get some ways to help me reel it in. Mm. And he's really good at that. And that's his favorite thing, is to go away and come back with, you know, I Want to Be That Song. I had that idea before I went on stage in Kansas. I was in Kansas at a speedway there for a NASCAR race, and I was singing in front of this huge crowd, and put my inner monitors in, about to go on stage, and I pull one out, and I said, man, I want to write a song called Want to Be That Song. And then I walked on stage, and I didn't see him for like 6 months after that.
The radio went asunder, making my world all a mess. Back corner of a cornfield, bottle tops in a true spill. Pull the lever, lay the seat back laughing, you slipping off your shoes, while the dashboard speakers sing every word of night moves. I wanna be that song that gets you high, makes you dance, makes you fall. That melody rewinds years, wants to disappear, makes time stall. I wanna be those words. Down and keeps you young, makes you believe you're
And he said, remember that Wanna Be That Song idea you had? Well, here's some ideas for it. And then,
you're kidding.
And then next thing you know, we're in it, you know, and he's got all these cool lines and things. And then I, you know, and we start collaborating, you know, but there's always different ways we do it. But I like locking it in with him and going through the ideas and then finding that one. And this we'll both spend several different sessions on it, and we'll get together and we'll come up with different lines, and he'll have lines, and I'll tweak that. And, you know, just it's fun. It's a really cool process.
I read that Mean to Me was kind of written the same way, right? Over several sessions?
Yes, Mean to Me was the same. Pretty much every song I write with him, everybody's different. Some people all write a song in 2 hours. But with him, I'm not a real patient person, but I've learned to be patient in the right situations, and that's one of them with him, because I know what, you know, ends up becoming the outcome of it.
If mine could be the name that changes yours, the wine in your glass, the swing on your porch, the dollar in your pocket, and the peaceful in your sleep, then I'd be what you mean to me. Standing here, watching you, turning every head in this crowded room, the lights down low, dancing slow, oh, it falling's how you feel, and perfect's what you see, then I'd be what you mean to me.
Man, that is one of the questions I have written down almost exactly. Is it hard, Brett Eldridge, to be patient and creative?
Yes. Huh. You get that little morsel, you get that little hit of rush of excitement when you get a song. You just want it to be done because you're so excited, and you know it's going to be great. And then if you rush it, I've rushed some great ideas many times, and you end up getting done with the song. You're like, man, I felt really excited about that beginning, and now I don't think I'm there at the end. And I think being patient and learning that patience of not selling yourself short and just finishing the song to finish it because you're excited, but to take the time with it and make it to where, you know, you can also overwork a song to death. I think when you know the idea is right and the song's right, you give it the time and the space, and usually different things will pop out to you. Maybe I can work on this little spot a little more. And I think that's important sometimes. And not always. Like I said, sometimes impatience is great on songs. If it's just flowing and you're in the flow, then you just capture that moment, whether it's an hour or two, and you just stay in it. But sometimes the big ideas, gotta finesse them a little bit.
With the other songwriters I've talked with on here, we talked a lot about melody and lyrics. One thing that that you mentioned that I haven't talked to any songwriters about, and it's super important to you, is phrasing. Talk about, first of all, just, I mean, what exactly that means, phrasing, and how kind of Frank Sinatra helped you kind of develop your thoughts on that.
Phrasing is something I think I don't think about it as much as I just do it. And that's the reason I say that, because I started out as a singer before I was a songwriter. I was growing up listening to Sinatra and Ray Charles and all these guys that leave you hanging on every word.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia!
Johnson and Georgia.
Like, you're hooked on every word, and the way they phrase it, and the way they, Georgia. It's just, it's a craft that I think you have to feel, and you have to really listen. And I think once you get your own phrasing, it just becomes part of who you are. And I think that's why, you know, some writers, you can hear a song and you can hear their phrasing, and you don't even know the writer. You don't even know who's the writer on the song, but you can tell. I can guess a lot of the time just by certain writers I know and stuff. That's part of your identity. And I think learning from others' identities and how they did it, and kind of shaping it into mine by listening and by writing, I think phrasing is everything, and it's your identity.
Is that one of the reasons you prefer to be a singer-songwriter, because you know what's best for you?
I think so, because, you know, I think there are incredible songs out there to be cut, written by other artists, and I've only not written two songs on any of my albums. One of them happens to be on this album, and the other one was on the Bring You Back album, the title track. And sometimes there's one that just, you know, that person is right in your wheelhouse of how the song, you can hear yourself singing. And I think every artist who's mainly a songwriter gets lucky to hear those sometimes and be like, man, that song felt like it was written for me, you know, like Miranda with The House That Built Me or something. You know, I felt like that song was, I know she didn't write it, it feels like she did. And well, but for me, yeah, writing for myself isn't because I need to feel the gratification of, oh, I wrote everything, I'm an artist. So, you know, it's, for me, it's like, this is just my identity. This is how I know I can tell a story, and it's fully my story, and it's walking the way that I walk and talking the way I talk. And I think that's where phrasing becomes very important, and writing my own songs and my own melodies and stuff. That identity is huge for me.
Give me one song where the phrasing is, like, if you were going to point to one song and go, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, what would be the song for you?
I think there's several on this album, and but the ones that from past albums, there's a song called The Reason that I would say has a lot of inflections in the verses.
Sitting at the bar, telling fairy tales, pouring whiskey in, wishing wells. Feeling sorry for myself. There's only one person in this world that can save me from myself. So I pick up the phone, pray that you're home. I'm all alone, saying the reason I called you drunk is I need your love so bad, so bad it hurts, baby, it's worth saying the reason I stay messed up is I need your love so bad, so bad.
You can hear, and it's way different. The chorus is more spread out and sing along, but in the verse, it's very much unique to kind of my phrasing a little bit. And then in One Mississippi, I say, was another one. And the reason I say that, I didn't even know Tom Douglas when I walked in the room to write that song. And it was so uncomfortable for me because I'm kind of shy. Not kind of comfortable, but I was such a big fan of his that I walked in the room. I'm like, I just started singing. And I think when you give yourself permission to show up in a room and just start singing, and that's when I can be myself the most. And the way that the melody spread out on that song from the verse to the chorus is very much my type of phrasing. And I think writing on piano a lot gives me that opportunity, and that's why I love writing with Tom. It gives me that space to kind of dance around a little bit. And so One Mississippi would be one for sure.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, counting down the seconds, standing in the wreckage of love. On a cold gray Jackson dawn. Oh, I just can't watch this show, can't stop this. I keep waiting, your taillights are fading. I see you're already gone. I'm half of who I used to be. one Mississippi. Lipstick on a coffee cup. I know I should wash it up, but maybe I just wait here for a little while. Run my fingers round the top where your lips were. I just stop, 'cause I can only.
You wanted to kind of shake things up a little bit creatively, so you've gone with a new production team. And did you guys jump on a bus and actually go to your hometown of Paris, Illinois, to kind of so the people that were working with you could kind of get a better feel for who you are and where you come from, where you wanted those songs to come from?
Yeah, because I think I've said in this, is identity is everything for an artist. As you know, like, I mean, when you hear your favorite artist, I mean, you know exactly who that is when you hear him. And I think a big part of that is where they come from, the story that they're telling, and the heart of the place that these songs are born. And that is, for me, is the Midwest. It's a unique place to grow up. And I wanted to be a voice for the heart of the heartland, you know. And so I wanted to take people to that place. And so I took my producers there. And before we went to Chicago to record it, I wanted to go to Paris and let them see and feel the streets and the downtown square that's kind of fallen apart, but still has the soul of that small town, and the kind of hospitality of Midwest hospitality that's way different than the South hospitality that you would get in Nashville. Say it's just its own thing, and you can only really feel and see that if you go there, and you see the way people interact with each other and with me, you know, because they can, you know, you can see my old stories going with them. And so that was really important. And then we went up to Chicago, which is, you know, one of my favorite cities in the world. And we got to record there, which was way outside the zone of recording in Nashville, which is the best. You know, Nashville is Music City, and I've made all my records here. But I wanted to push to give another outlook on my music. And I think I needed to go to a different place and not even be thinking about what I've thought about making records before. But this is a whole nother way of looking at creating music, and it was the best thing I've ever done.
The album is called Sunday Drive. It is out July 10th. You've already, as we're doing this podcast, recording this podcast, five songs have been kind of pre-released. And the one I really wanted to ask about was Good Day. I know it was written before the pandemic, but oh my God, it and the video just absolutely fit for the times that we're in right now.
Yeah, it was, this song was kind of, came from a place when I was trying to change my outlook on the way I looked at life. From the, you know, it's easy to find the negative things in your life and look at that. And I was like, man, I don't want to look at the world that way anymore. And not that I always did, but I think we all are guilty of easily finding the negative things. And I wanted to do less of that. And I said, I'm going to choose to have a good day, and I'm just going to put my best foot forward and have a good day. And so I think that was a powerful message. And then all this pandemic came along, and I was like, man, I hope this song can really help some people through this, because I think even in these times, even when you're in everything that's going on in the world, it's like putting your best self forward and being there for yourself and being there for others. And I think this song is a great testament to that. And I just want to continue to send that message to everybody and myself. And I think that's what music's about.
I think I'll start my morning with Sinatra. Let those blue eyes speak to me. Skip all the things that I don't want to. And let my mind wander free. It's 42 cold and rainy, and something's got me thinking maybe it's gonna be a good day. I don't know why, but it feels like love's coming my way. And the sun ain't even shining. If the world gonna keep on spinning, let it keep spinning on my way. I gotta feel it. It's gonna be a good day. Look at the leaves and how they turn.
Does this album represent you more than any other?
Oh yeah. mean, I would say that's what any artist will tell you if you ask that, but being the journey that I would can say I've been on, and I've grown up making this album, and it was it's so much. I mean, when people hear, and you can hear a taste of it already, but when everybody hears it, you're going to hear a major difference, I think, in a good way. And like I said, you can tell I grew up in a way that's it's just a deeper layer and a lot more vulnerable side to me. And yes, it's me stepping outside of the boundaries of fear and showing up in a way that I've never showed up before. So yes, is the answer.
And my wife would hit me on the head if I didn't ask, because like where the heart is, crowd my mind. It sounds like you're still a guy searching for the perfect girl.
Maybe at one point in my life I was looking for the perfect everything. What I've learned now is then I'll look for what's perfect or what makes me whole. You know, there's a song about this called "The One You Need," and it's a really, really good special song. Just opening up to the idea of just being myself for somebody and having someone that's there for you, but also the idea that I could be that for somebody, be the one that somebody needs and be the rock for them is, I think, another thing is giving myself the grace a little bit to realize that. I think that's important. So I think it's a little bit, you know, more realistic to I've always been a love song guy and not necessarily been in love, I guess I would say, but now this album is really the opening up to the allowing myself to just be who I am, and I think that's doing a lot for me. So
when you fly too high, when you sing too deep, when you're lost falling stars don't line up your dreams before it breaks your heart. Oh, let me be the one you need.
It's probably looking for the perfect girl, that's the wrong thing. Perfection is unattainable, and that's one of the things that you have talked a lot about as you've gone through, you know, kind of dealing with your anxieties, allowing yourself to be imperfect and just, you know, kind of accept things and yourself how you are.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. That's everything. I mean, that's once you get that idea in your head, and doesn't mean it's a magic wand, but once you really do start to just accept yourself for who you are, man, that's the golden ticket, man. That'll slowly get you to where you're heading in the right direction, even on the days where you feel like you take some steps back. I mean, that's where it's at, and that's the direction I've taken on this album, and that's the step I've taken, and it's not only made me a better artist and musician, but a better person, and that's all I really care about.
Brett, thank you for taking time. I love the fact that not only do you recognize that life is a journey, but you're all about being on it. And I think it's just, it's so cool. And the way that you've shared and continue to share your life, I can't wait to see how much more you grow as an artist. And I can't wait to hear this album. Since this is a songwriter podcast, give me a song off of the album to send it out with that you're particularly proud of the writing on.
Obviously, I would say The Whole Body of Work, but I would say I think that there's a song called "The One You Need" on this, and "Crowd My Mind." I really like "Crowd My Mind"'s out there now, and "Crowd My Mind" is it's a very vulnerable song, and I would say that's one of them right there.
Sun comes up on the coastline. Watch your shadow dance on a red sky. Feel your hair run through my fingers. on your memory how it lingers. And not a day goes by I don't need your smile. I don't feel your heart in every mile. Empty streets and whistling pines, but not a day goes by you don't crowd my mind.
Brett, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, brother, and hopefully I'll get to see you soon. We'll go fishing and talk more songwriting.
Would love to get you out here and take you fishing or whatever. So be good, man. Looking forward to the album.
You too, brother. Thank you.
All right, see ya.
See you soon.
So broke you could see through me, wouldn't know me if you knew.
Yeah, when Brett was an up-and-coming artist, he came out to Sacramento quite a bit, and a couple of different times we took him fishing out on the Sacramento River, and once on a lake near here for some bass fishing, and also set him up with some trips in the Sierra. He loves to fish. I'm just saying, if he's in your area and you're dialed into the fishing scene, you might want to let Brett's people know he's got kind of a fishing problem. And again, I can't thank him enough for joining us on Write You a Song, and I can't thank you enough for listening as well. If you like the show, I hope you can give it a positive rating. Please share it. And at the start of the show, I referenced how Brett is kind of a staple on country radio. Well, just as a songwriter, next month's guest is every bit a staple and then some.
Saturday night, a little messed up, but we're all right.
Bring it till his memory fades away. Hey, bartender.
If the door's unlocked, I'll leave on the lights. Baby, you can crash my party anytime.
Yeah, you learn to fly, and if you can't, then you just free fall.